From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. A federal grant soon will allow a handful of hospitals across northeastern Minnesota to share healthcare information, giving patients more and better options when deciding where to receive care. The Duluth News Tribune reports Minnesota Wilderness Healthcare Coalition was awarded a federal grant for $75,000 last month that will be used to connect the health databases of 9 different facilities in the area. Included in the network is Cook County North Shore Hospital and Care Center in Grand Marais. Obtained through Minnesota's State Innovation Model Initiative, which originally received the money from the federal government, the grant will be used to implement a platform that will connect the various databases. The hospitals will continue working from different databases, but will be able to exchange information remotely. That will allow the coalition hospitals to treat patients in a more timely manner and ensure patients are sent to the facility best equipped to care for them. If all goes well, the planning phase of the project will be completed by early 2015. Wilderness Health is a collaborative care provider founded in 2013. It encompasses 9 hospitals and medical centers across the Arrowhead region. In addition to Cook County, the coalition also includes Lakeview Hospital in Two Harbors and St. Luke's in Duluth. 2 Minnesota clinics have each received federal grants of $250,000 to improve and increase their mental health services. The clinics are the Open Door Health Center of Mankato and the Sawtooth Mountain Clinic in Grand Marais. Rita Plourd, executive director of the Sawtooth Mountain Clinic, says family physicians at her clinic are treating an increasing number of patients with mental health needs. She hopes to use the money to hire in-house behavioral health specialists that could include clinical psychologists and mental health counselors. The grant money is from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and it was awarded through the Affordable Care Act. Cliffs Natural Resources, an iron ore and coal producer with major operations on Minnesota's Iron Range, announced this week that Lorenzo Gonsalves, a former steel company executive, was named to run the company after hedge fund Casablanca Capital triumphed in a proxy battle for control of the company. The Duluth News Tribune reports Gonsalves could pursue the sale of 3 of the company's 4 operating segments: its Asia-Pacific iron ore business, its Eastern Canadian iron ore operations, and North American coal unit. The company likely would keep its U.S. iron ore division, including its operations on the Iron Range. Cliffs among the largest employers in northeastern Minnesota. The company owns United Taconite in Eveleth and North Shore Mining in Silver Bay and Babbitt, and is part owner and operates Hibbing Taconite. It also owns and operates the Tilden Empire operations in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. In an interview with Reuters in February, Gonsalves said he would focus on supplying iron ore to steelmakers in the United States, not selling to the competitive global iron ore market, if he became Cliff's CEO. Enbridge Energy may have to consider additional pipeline routes to move North Dakota oil across Minnesota under actions this week by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. The 5-member PUC voted 3-2 to ask both Enbridge and its critics to report back by September 11th on why or why not other potential new routes should not be considered. The Duluth News Tribune adds that the decision doesn't mean Enbridge may not eventually win its favorable route choice across northern Minnesota for its Sandpiper pipeline. A final decision on whether the pipeline is needed and what route it should follow isn't expected until next year at the earliest. The Commission's action appears to give critics more time to include new routes in the formal process of approving the line that will unfold over the next several months. Enbridge has been studying 2 potential routes across northern Minnesota to Superior, Wisconsin, but the idea of looking at additional routes has been proposed by groups that say too many lakes, rivers, wetlands, and groundwater sources are at risk for pipeline spills along Enbridge's northern routes. Environmental groups skeptical of proposed copper mines in northeastern Minnesota drew a quick connection this week between a devastating copper mine tailings basin breach in Canada and projects here at home. A large part of a huge man-made tailings basin at the Mount Polly copper mine near Likely, British Columbia, collapsed, allowing some 1.3 billion gallons of contaminated water and mine waste to escape into local waterways. Videos taken after the breach show a huge river of mud and debris flowing for miles, Local government officials have declared a state of emergency. The cause of the breach has not yet been determined, according to reports by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation and the National Post. On Wednesday of this week, a Minnesota-based Mining Truth said the company that designed, engineered, and oversaw the construction of the Mount Polly Tailings Dam, Knight Piesold, also provided the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and PolyMet with input on the current proposal for the proposed PolyMet copper mine project near Hoyt Lakes. A DNR spokesman this week said Knight Piesold is listed among 20 consultants reviewing the supplemental draft impact statement. Those consultants in the appendix, engineers, botanists, geologists, hydrologists, and such from lots of different companies and agencies, have reviewed the document but have not provided design work. Mining Truth member groups, however, said the relationship should be a red light to Minnesotans. Paul Danichek, executive director of the Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness, said, quote, "It's deeply disturbing that the same firm that designed the collapsed tailings dam was hired by PolyMet and the Minnesota DNR." The battle for the Duluth Mail Processing Center is reaching beyond state borders but does not appear to be swaying the U.S. Postal Service. In Indiana, there is a website called SaveOurPostOffice.us. It's hosting a petition to keep Duluth's center along the 2800 block of West Michigan Street open beyond its scheduled closing as soon as January 2015. So far, there are more than 2,000 signatures, and supporters are looking for 3,000 more. In Superior, Wisconsin, a city that sees its mail flow through the center, the city council this week passed a resolution expressing its opposition to the scheduled closing. But a USPS spokesperson said appeals last month to Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe by members of the state's federal congressional delegation fell short of a convincing argument. Quote, "Basically, the decisions for the Duluth processing plant were made in 2011, said Iowa-based USPS spokeswoman Stacy St. John. "There is no additional review undergoing. We're basically resuming again for 2015. The local processing center is among 82 closures scheduled nationwide for 2015. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.